I just like to look at Genesis chapter 1. I was going to do something else, but I really don't have time this morning to flesh all this out in what that I believe that God wants to speak to us this morning. And I want to share with you the greatest. Yesterday I went to a class on ESL, English as a second language, and using that as a ministry and from the local church. And the North Texas is taking an initiative to establish a 501c3 to be able to accommodate the governmental requirements to be able to reach into our community to touch the lives of immigrants. There are people that walk our streets, or actually probably more like drive our streets today, who work in the places around Quitman, if not in Quitman, who don't come from Texas. They don't come from the United States. They come from around the world. And you know, the thing is that we could go along and continue to have our nice white church and feel comfortable with one another. Or we can do what Jesus told us to do. Matthew chapter 28 and 19 says we can go to all the nations. We need to go. We must go to all the nations. Well, let me just tell you something. You don't really even have to go to all the nations today. You could be right here in Quitman and reach the nations. Because people are here from the nations of the world. And so what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just let them rock on in their whatever they're doing, their idolatry or their lifestyle or whatever the case is? Are we going to make an impact into their life? And so oftentimes the problem that the church has, and I think the problem that the common people have, is that they don't have the tools that they need. And so we talk about it from the pulpit. How many missionaries do you have? You have probably at least one a month to come tell you that we need to be spreading the gospel, but the problem is we don't know how to spread the gospel. And the things that we used to use in the yesteryear don't work today. You know what? It's strange. You know, today, used to in yesteryear, people dressed up when they went to town. How many remember those days? Those real thin ties. You could see pictures of it. Believe me, I wasn't in those days. But I've seen pictures. And you think, I have seen pictures of the General Electric plate where they were building General Electric equipment. And those guys, brother, were in their white shirt and tie working on that equipment. Belts running, pulleys and everything else. I'm thinking, why did they do that? You know what I'm saying? But that, you know, that was yesteryear. People dressed up. They went to town. Nowadays, you go to town and they're wearing their pajamas to McDonald's and Walmart. Folks, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is it's different. It's different. And we've got to get used to interacting with different. And so how do we do that? What tools can we use to be able to accomplish this great need? And I believe that the tools are here for us. And thank God that someone is, a group of people are hearing the cry of the international in our world today. And I would love to go through and talk about the immigrant from a biblical point of view, because I believe it actually starts out whenever God gave the law on Sinai. And he really created two different people there. He created the Jews, the children of Abraham, the children of Jacob, and the rest of them, the rest of the nations. And though God, while he has a specific portion of the law that is directly assigned and given to the children of Jacob to carry as a covenantal relationship with the God that has brought them out of Egypt and has rescued them, and he has this special relationship with them, along with those people were the strangers and the aliens. You see, the fact is that those strangers and aliens were not children of Jacob, but yet God in his law took care of them. He told the children of Jacob that they were to take care of them. They were to treat them like brothers. And so what I'm declaring to you today is that we are not children of Jacob. We are children of Abraham by faith in the covenant. Whenever you give your life to Jesus, you are a children of Abraham, a child of Abraham's a belief and trust in God, and that we should act like Israel and then take these people into our lives and begin to share our lives with them, that we can reach them with the gospel. Let me just share with you real quick. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, this is a very familiar scripture. Everybody ought to quote it, or could quote it, at least in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What I like about this is not just a creation story, and there's a plethora of things that we could talk about this morning what could be going on in this first chapter. But here today, I'm not talking about the creation as far as the physical creation that we're seeing in a world around us. But what I'm talking about is a spiritual creation that begins to happen in people's lives. First of all, I notice that God is the one who creates all things. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. But secondly, what I see is that He creates a world. He creates a place that is useless. It's chaotic. It is unusable. And so God in this creation story begins to take what's unusable and begins to bring it into order. And can I say to us this morning, there's a world that's walking the streets of Quitman. They're driving in their cars with their windows rolled up and their music on. They're operating our businesses right out here in the world that we live in. And their lives are chaotic. You see what I'm talking about? Where do I get this chaos from? What am I talking about? Well, I mean, we can go to three places in the Bible. Most people don't like this list. But these lists exist for a reason. Because it defines people who are pagan and living in chaos. The world of the New Testament was not the church and the Jews and the Romans and the whatever else. It was the Jews who believed, and the Gentiles. Those Gentiles were pagan, idol worshiping, pork chop eating, adulterating, fornicating pagans. That's where our ancestors were. That's where we were. It's where my ancestors were. I don't know about y'all, but you read some of the stories. Thank God for the Lord, and I mean, it's a whole other story. But listen to this list. We'll just read the one out of Galatians quickly. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Maybe I do need to read all of it. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. That defines chaos. I would say that that people don't really realize they're living in chaos. They're trying everything they can to make their life work. How many times have you heard someone say, I wish my life would work? I want you to know what Joel was reaching out to in his testimony, what his former life was, is this spiritism, or the right on the verge of what we call Wicca or witchcraft, is that he was reaching out to answers, to answer the inner spiritual need in his life. That's what he was trying to find, that inner spiritual need that he needed answering, that what we call the biggest hole that nothing in the world can ever fill up, but God could fill up in a moment that we cry out to him. But the world, let's go back to it, the world was created as something useless. And I don't understand all that. Leave that aside for a second, but I'm talking about the lives of people. And then the Spirit of God began to move on them. This is what we're doing in Portugal. We have to be the emissaries as we go forth, the ambassadors as we go forth into our world, so that the Spirit of God will move upon them to begin to initiate that, just like what Joel said in his testimony, that the Spirit of God began to convict him. I believe in the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. It kept us prayed through, Brother Vincent. Back in the day when the pastor used to preach that Jesus was going to come back tomorrow morning and you better get your life right. Well, maybe he didn't say tomorrow morning, but we didn't know. But we got down every Sunday night and prayed through because Jesus could come back. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is still coming back. We may have changed into our methods and the things that we do today, but it still doesn't change the fact that Jesus is coming back and people are going to go to an eternity, whether with God or without God. Well, the Spirit of God began to move on the face of the waters. What does he do? I'm not going to preach through all these because we'd be here till 1 o'clock definitely. But I would like to look at the first day, the first thing that God begins to create in people, create in the world, excuse me, to bring it into order. You see, I believe God wants to bring lives into order. It's not our order. It's not the church's order. It's not pastor's order. It is the God that of the created the world. It's his order. It's his order. In these books of that we read in the New Testament, really, Paul wasn't talking specifically to the Jewish people, but he was speaking to pagan, idol-worshiping, adulterating pagans that didn't know anything, and they needed to bring their life into God's order. And so as we read through these books, it is amazing how that he defines how that may happen. He begins to give them instructions. But, you know, before you can get your life in order, and people want to do this out of order sometimes, but they want to go and try to get their life in order and then come to church. There is no order until you get to the first day. And the first day is the light that God creates. Look at what the Bible says there in verse 3. And God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. The first thing that a person needs is they've got to have the light of God's word shine upon their life before they can get into order. This is so key. You know, when we go out to the street, while we can preach all kinds of good things, but and say all kind, give a great illustration, but the bottom line is, if we don't use God's word, his word will not have a chance to come back void. You know what? We've got to use his word, because the light of the gospel's got to be presented. If we don't present that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, how will they know? How will they know the light? We're not talking about a psychological light. We're not talking about a light of some kind of list of do's and don'ts. We're talking about the light that you've got to be born again. I remember the day the light shined in my life. Little Baptist Church in North Austin. Our life was a wreck, and I don't have time to go into my whole testimony this morning, but to just say that our life, our family's life was a wreck. I was a young kid. I was going through the same struggle. My mom and dad were getting divorced. Amen. Everything was in a wreck. Kids reap the negativity off of that, and I was in no doubt. But you know what? I walked the aisle that night in a revival, November 11, 1978, and gave my life to the Lord. The reason was because the light of the gospel was preached on that service that night, and I began to walk in the light. That's what 1 John tells us, that you got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen. The word of God is the lamp to our feet and a light to our path. How many of we know all these scriptures? We know them all. That's the first thing. As the Spirit of God begins to move on us, then we get the light cast on us and our darkness is revealed. That's why we go. That's why we preach. That's why we stand on that red box. So the light can shine. Let me tell you something. We take for granted in our world today, in equipment, in Mineola, you could go down to Whataburger. If you sit there long enough, you will hear somebody in there talking about the Lord, talking about church. That is something that is unique, let me just tell you, to North Texas. I lived in Kansas, Liberalville, okay, if you will. I was fixing to say something else, but I'm not drawing any political lines this morning. But I'm talking about liberal thinking. But you know what? It's really not about liberal thinking. It's really about people who have tucked under their lives what God is doing, and they're unwilling to talk about it to someone else. Can I tell you, this is why Europe is where it is today. I was speaking to a lady in Rockton, Illinois. We were stuck in a motel room, our group that was doing some training. And we were stuck in this motel room because there was a blizzard outside. Yeah, they have blizzards up there. And I was talking to her, and she was telling me, she was from Germany. And she was telling me, and we were talking about different things. And I said, yeah, and I said, well, you know, about your religious experience. And as we began to talk, she says, well, that's a personal thing with me. And that's kind of the last thing. And I said, the reason why Hitler was able to do what he was able to do is because the church was silent. As those trains went by and screaming Jews who were in those trains in deplorable conditions, their motto was sing louder so we don't have to hear their screams. I'm telling you that the world, the church world today, maybe not Quitman, I'm hoping it's not Quitman today, is that we want to sing louder so we won't have to hear those people that are in our world that are crying out for help. It's quiet now, but I'm a missionary. I'm supposed to challenge you, and I'll leave, and I'll never be back. At least I won't be back for 4 years, and the pastor will have to reap the repercussions of what I say this morning. But can I challenge you this morning? Can I challenge you? Where are the tools that we need? Now, I could go down through the rest of these days and really talk about, but I am compelled this morning that the problem is not because not the heart of every one of us that are here today. And I know some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. I pastored a church like that one time. Some of the people in that church were three times my age. Yeah. I mean, how do you tell them people, you know, what God's word says and should say and all this kind of stuff? They looked at me and said, like, well, that is your opinion. That's what one of them ladies said to me one time. That is your opinion. Well, that really makes a pastor feel great. But let me just help you. Let me tell you something. Church is not what was in these four walls here today. Okay? To be the church is to do what Jesus told us to do. The Great Commission says this, go into all the world. Okay, that is not a verb. Did you know that? Go is not a verb. It is a participle. How many young people know? Because I ain't going to ask you the rest of you guys. A participle is not the verb. It is only helping the verb to describe what the verb should be doing or the processes that the verb goes through. The verb in there is making disciples. Or make disciples. Go and make disciples. Disciples are simply followers of Jesus. We don't make disciples of the assemblies of God. We don't make disciples of even the Pentecostal whole idea. We make disciples helping them follow Jesus. Hallelujah. He says go. So really, it could be translated because all participles have an ing on the end of them in English, right? So it's really, by your going, you will make disciples. By your baptizing, you will make disciples. By your teaching, you will make disciples. What did Jesus tell us to teach? He told us specifically what to teach. Whatsoever, and I'm quoting now the King James, whatsoever things I have commanded you, the things that Jesus commanded, we teach. That's what we teach. The Word of God, because they don't know. I'm going to tell you, our life was in a wreck. Our life was in a wreck. My mom and dad, we were living in North Austin. My dad was living in South Austin. That's where our life was. We came together. My dad said, I want to take your kids to church. And that's a whole other story how we even got to Austin, okay? Here's the thing. I was born in Dallas, okay, y'all? I'm a Texan. That's the reason why I use y'all all the time, right? I'm not from Kansas, and this ain't Kansas anymore. Okay, anyway, but let me just tell you is that we were chaotic, but God began to speak. God began to speak, and God began to convict my dad, because he read his Bible, And he had the little bit of Spirit of God, amen, that he even knew how to interact with. You see, the problem with people's lives is they're chaotic and they don't realize it because they don't get the Word of God out to convict them. And so the first thing they did, Brother Arlen, is that they took us and they put us in a home Bible study. A home Bible study. And guess what we did? This is Baptist now. Put us in a home Bible study and they began to teach us God's Word. Can I say to us, the problem we have in our churches today is that we don't have the tools we need to be able to accomplish the work. Can I challenge you, Quitman Assembly of God? You know, y'all are close to us, right? Y'all are close to our heart because we are here. We're not living in Waxahachie and we just visit. No, we're here all the time, so I kind of see what's going on. And I really have really a deeper burden for y'all than I would just say a church over in Gilmer, because I don't really know them. You see what I'm saying? So listen to the heart of this man of God, and that is, we've got to have the tools so we can reach into our community. A pastor was, yesterday we were sitting there, and a pastor talked about the segregation in this congregation. So he has a white set of congregants. Now, I know it's quiet in here because normally pastors don't like talking about this, but missionaries can. They have a white set, a black set, and a Hispanic set in the congregation. And he says, how can we get these people to interact with one another? And they sit together. You know what I'm talking about? Now listen, I pastor an inner city church. I know how this works. White people were the minority in that church. I loved it that way. You talk about have church. We had church. I could do anything I wanted up there on the piano. We had church. Now let me just say this is one of the things I understood. This is how we did it. Is that we invited them into our home. That's how you break the walls down. You see, there exists a wall today between the church and the people out there. People during the COVID found it really effective when we went outside the church doors because we had to, and we pulled up in our car, and now we're preaching the gospel out in front of our church in a PA system, and we got visitors for that. And look what happens when COVID goes away, we quit doing it. We don't need to do it anymore, right? But what about the visitors? They pulled up in their car. They're not obligated. They don't have to sign a card. They don't have to do anything. But they listened. And where the Word of God goes forth, the Word of God can be planted and bring forth fruit. Where the Spirit of God is, where the Spirit is, the Spirit can set free people that are bound. You see what I'm saying? That's only one method. I was in this ESL class, and I'm not telling you, Pastor, what to do here. I'm just talking about tools. ESL in our community, where people who don't speak English, you don't have to speak a foreign language to teach ESL. Trust me, I had to learn Spanish. The best way I learned Spanish is when I got with somebody who didn't know a lick of English, and he made me speak Spanish. I had to, you can only talk so much. That's all I could do in the beginning. But as I learned the grammar, I began to learn how to communicate, formulate those sentences. That's the hardest part about Spanish, or any language, to tell you the truth. But in order to teach people how to speak English, you don't need to know their language. There's an opportunity for 20 people in this room right now who are retired and have an opportunity to teach English. Or job fairs. Or whatever the case is. You say, oh, that won't work here. I got news for you. It'll work anywhere within, as I said before, I may be in trouble now. Pastor's not going to take me out to eat now. Just pray for me, okay? I love y'all. Y'all gotten to be good people, good friends of ours, and we really appreciate you. And you I don't have words to tell you how much we appreciate each one of you. And the pastor too, and his lovely wife, Sister Norma, has been an awesome blessing to us. But this church should be full. It should be full. What are we doing to reach into our community? In our quest, the secularism that is part of America, part of Europe right now, that is prevalent in Europe right now, which defines the spiritual relationship they have. The secularism, that is, God is not the center of what they do, how they think, or their decision making, or anything. Okay, ours in America is really, we're different. Okay, and especially people in the church, God is really at the center. Even though that we may not know the answers, the decision making, we often think about, okay, well, what would God do? What would God want us to do? Okay, that is not even an existent thing, the secularism that exists in Europe. You see, how do we break through those walls? We go to the red box. God's word does its part, yes. We preach, we pray. But really, the walls come down when we build relationships with people. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Get to be a friend with somebody that doesn't go to church and really has no connection to church. Be their friend. Get involved with their life. I say it this way. You know, back in the day, and I'm going to close with this, Lord help me. Is back in the day, you know, we used to preach holiness. It's holiness or hell. I grew up in that world. And it was Assembly of God. We just believed it. You separate from the world, bless God, and all that kind of stuff. And I think we do need to separate from the world. We don't need to act like the world. Those things that I read you before, we aren't supposed to be doing those things, okay? I know that. But folks, what happened was when we began to talk like that, we began to build a shell around us. Yeah, we separated so much, it's like Brother Arlen said, is that now we can't even identify. We can't even associate with them anymore because they're so different than us. And I'm not saying, when I say go out and be their friend, I'm not saying join in, go out and have a beer with them, brother. Now, come on now, I'm not talking about that. I know he won't have one. But you know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with hanging out with them. Sharing their life. You can't share the gospel until you've had a part of their life. And that's what we found when we were pastoring, those years of pastoring, is that we invited them into our life, invited them around our table. We shared a meal together. People will talk about things around a meal that you just wouldn't believe. I've had some interesting conversations with people. And I just look at them and smile and let them talk. And you know what? And then I pray with them. I said it was going to be the ending thing. Let me tell you this right here. Just one more thing. Okay, one more thing. In the old days, we had what we call power encounters. Brother Don Richardson wrote a book called Peace Child. Peace Child is really a book. It's a missionary book. It's a huge missionary book. Then he wrote another one called Eternity in Their Hearts. It's just missionary stories. But it's a missionary that went into this place and began to plant this work. But the problem was he couldn't figure out how to present the gospel in their context. And so he began to pray and ask the Lord. Now I'm talking about power encounters. This is what we used to call it in the old days, was power encounters. And we would the missionary would go in the jungle, and he'd converse with them and things like that. The first thing he'd discover is, where is their God? Where is their hope? What do they believe spiritually? And that, so that began to unfold, and that was how the missionary began to understand, that's what I've got to conquer. Okay, is that I can conquer that God, then I can have a say into this community. And so what often would happen is, usually, that it was the witch doctor that was connected with some tree or mountain or whatever the case is. And so what the missionary would do, as the Lord presented it, is that he would pray for those that are sick or whatever the case is, and God would do miraculous work right there. And all of a sudden, now the witch doctor's power wasn't as strong as what they thought it was. There began to be a question. That is what we call the power encounter. Today in Europe, and I believe in right here in America, we need a power encounter. But it's not the same kind, because we're not talking about trees and rocks and mountains. We're talking about the power encounter as people's own perception of right and wrong in their life. But God, we can talk all day. We have a world full of talking heads. Facebook is full of them, right? I'm like, and is the moment you say something, it's like there's 12 different people. That I say, I was thinking about yesterday. Man, am I making this last too long? I was thinking about this yesterday. The Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to set up a world government. Folks, it will not happen in our generation as long as Facebook is around. When a guy gets up there, there'll be 12 different opinions whether he really should be in charge. How could he ever run anything? Okay, anyway. Today, the power encounter is people's hearts in the secular world. And here's how you break it. Okay, so I talked about getting involved in people's lives. This is how you break. This is how you encounter them. And that is through prayer. When you get to know them, they will share their needs. You'll see their needs. And as they share them, you begin to pray for them. We believe in power of prayer, don't we? Believe because we're Pentecostal, right? 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 Amen. I believe God can do some miraculous things. Well, let me tell you something. God will do some miraculous things when you call upon Him. We begin to pray with them about their need, about their circumstance, about their marriage, about their family circumstance or their children or whatever the case is. And God comes through in a miraculous way. Now you've got something to talk about. Now you've got a reference point to begin to talk about the God that you serve and Jesus who died for their sins and faith and confidence. I am compelled. This is the way we do it. I know this is the way we do it. In Europe, this is how we do it. Because oftentimes people don't give their life to the Lord as we do preach on the red box. They're just, they have a, like our brother talked about, it's all intellectual. These people are enlightened, folks. They are smart. We live in a world today where you can walk around and find any information you want right here. Right or wrong, it's here, and it's information. And that makes everybody an expert. That's why the Antichrist won't have anything. He can't come in our generation. They got to get rid of them phones first. 4.8 billion phones in our world, 3.2 billion of them, or excuse me, 4.8 billion phones in our world, 3.8 billion of them are smartphones. That means they can get to anything in any place, any time in the world. That's what we got to overcome. But you know what? It's God who overcomes those things in the hearts of people. You begin to pray with them, and God begins to break down their walls. Can I talk about tools? That's what I'm talking about. Tools that any one of us in here probably couldn't go and preach the gospel out on a red box. Probably couldn't do that. But you know what? You can make a friend. You can invite them over for supper. You can pray for them when they express their need. Let's stop and pray about that right now. You see what I'm saying? Now, some of the ladies that can't cook, I feel sorry for you, okay? Okay, that's why we have restaurants. If you can't cook, don't embarrass yourself, okay? Take them out. I just thought I'd throw that in just for funny. I don't know what Pastor wants to do here this morning to close this thing off, but I want us to bow our heads real quickly here, and I'll turn it over to you here in just a minute. We're definitely going to not beat the Baptist this morning. Here's what I want you to think about. Lord, I know someone in my life, or Lord, put someone in my life. I want you to ask the Spirit of God, show me someone. Show me, show me, show me. As a pastor, when I went to pastor the new church, this is one of the prayers I prayed. God, don't let me get so accustomed to my surroundings that I don't see what you see. You know, when you go in as a pastor, you go into a new town and you drive the streets And you think, man, look at all this opportunity. You live there for 3 years and you can't see any of it anymore because you got accustomed to it. I'm saying we got accustomed to the world, folks. We got accustomed to the secular mindset of our world. And we think that they're saved because they are okay because they drive a nice car, they live in a nice house, they have a good job or a good retirement. And I'm saying they're lost, going to hell without God. And I'm talking about just simple tools. So pray right now. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this beacon, this lighthouse of this church that's been here for many, many years. And Father, that you have used different pastors and brother and sister Odwell, Lord, in their ministry here to help to grow people's lives, Lord God. We thank you for that. But I'm praying, Lord, right now for the people of this congregation. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would compel them, just as you compel us to go to Portugal, that you would compel them to get a heart for the lost. Lord, that the tools that I talked about, simple tools that I talked about this morning, reaching the world around them, they would get on fire about doing something for the kingdom, for winning the lost, for obedience to the Great Commission. While we go, I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God today to rest upon each individual here. Lord, to begin to convict us, Lord, but also begin to direct us into the ways that we need to go, the places we need to go. Lord God, the people that we need to talk to, befriend. Lord, we're going to thank you for it, God, right now. Spirit of God, can Spirit of God speak to us right now in the name of Jesus? Speak to our hearts. Let us hear what you would have to say to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.